Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Christmas is notoriously a season of cheer and joy and celebration, but for many it's a time of heaviness and regret or sorrow. Well, today we hope to encourage your heart by lifting your focus back to the Word of God and to the blessings of the season. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, the blessings of the season. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and we hope that you are walking through every step of this special holiday season with your eyes on Jesus Christ and your worship and affection looking towards Him. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We hope that if this is a time of sorrow or heaviness or hardship for you or those you love, we hope that today's message will lift your heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the promises of His Word. Today, the blessings of the season. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell can be heard on this station at this time every Monday through Friday, and we hope that you'll walk through God's Word with us even into the new year. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But now let's begin examining the blessings of the season. We're going to begin with the blessing of God's favor.
It was a joyful greeting. He said, "I've got some good news for you, Mary." And He said, "You are highly favored among women." Now, as Baptists, we do not pray to Mary. We do not pray through Mary. We have never seen that in the Bible. We have one mediator between God and man, and the one mediator is Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. We do not pray to statues. We do not pray to historical figures, if you will. We as Baptists have preached against using any other mediatrix or mediatorial system. There's not one verse that tells us to pray to or through Mary. And many of our Baptist forefathers in the Dark Ages were martyred or murdered because they preached that you should not pray to Mary. But let me say this. As Baptists, we believe that Mary, while she is not to be worshipped or prayed to, she is to be highly respected. She was a godly, gracious, and pure woman. Indeed, an example for every woman and man in this room today. For the Bible says she was highly favored by God. How many of you would say this morning, "I would like God's favor in my life"? I would like someone to be able to see my life and say, "God is with you." Notice that the Bible says in verse 28, "The Lord is with thee." Now, I have known some people who called themselves Christians. They even had bumper stickers on their car that said, "Honk if you love Jesus," but I have wondered if the Lord is really with them. In other words, their attitude, their lifestyle, sometimes did not reflect the presence of the Lord. But Mary was such a woman that everyone around her knew the Lord was with her. That's a great sermon all by itself for all of us to live this week. The Lord was with her. And so she was a woman who was honored by God's announcement through Gabriel's salutation. She was honored by God's announcement through God's presence in her life. Notice in verse 28 it says, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." There again the phrase, "the Lord is with thee." Now the Lord was with her in her walk daily. The Lord would be with her physically as she carried Him in her womb. What a tremendous privilege and blessing in her life. And then God gave this announcement to Gabriel through Gabriel's salutation, through God's presence. But notice thirdly, through God's blessing in her life. Through God's blessing, this announcement was made. Verse 28 says it again, "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The word blessed, speaking of the fact that God viewed this woman as particularly blessed and prepared for the purpose of carrying his son. And so we see an honored maiden, honored by God's announcement. Notice secondly, she was encouraged by God's assurance. She was encouraged by God's assurance. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you read the Bible and you try to put yourself in the place of a Bible character. Maybe David or Joseph. Maybe you've tried to put yourself in the place of Joseph being betrayed by your brethren. But in this case, we put ourselves into the place of Mary. And we hear this wonderful announcement, "Hail, thou that art highly favored among women. Blessed art thou among women," and so forth. And we hear that, and yet we wonder about Mary's response. And notice what her response is in verse 29. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." Now notice Mary's concern. The angel Gabriel's telling her, "You're highly favored, the Lord has sent me." He kind of pops in out of nowhere. And the Bible tells us that Mary was troubled. The word here means to be troubled greatly or to be agitated. She was excited, perplexed about this news. It was unexpected. And I want you to notice also what she says here in verse 29. It says, "And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be." Notice that phrase, "she cast in her mind." She begins to bring together different reasonings in her mind. She's trying to figure this out in her mind. She's wondering about what's going on right now. This is bizarre, if you will, to her. She's so concerned about what would Joseph think. She's concerned about all of the ramifications. Who is this? What's going on? And no doubt she had reason to be concerned. And sometimes we have news in our life that brings a similar response. We begin to cast in our mind. And sometimes I do that in my own mind and trying to put the pieces together, if you will. That is our human nature, is it not? To try to put these things together. But notice, if you will, Gabriel's comfort to Mary in verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. One of the great lessons from today's message is just those two words, fear not. Because when we have news in our lives that we're trying to put together and we're casting in our mind, then we must come back to those truths that we have learned even as children. And how many times have we come back to those truths even in recent days? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And that is what Gabriel was saying. Fear not, Mary. Don't spend all your time casting in your mind what's going on. Just know that God has a plan. We see a heavenly messenger by the name of Gabriel this morning coming to speak to Mary about the work of the Son of God. And we see an honored maiden who's confused. But God says to her through His messenger, fear not. But would you notice with me finally this morning a hopeful message? You see, Gabriel didn't come to scare Mary, and God didn't give us His word or the circumstances of our lives to scare us. God has a hopeful message for Mary, and it is a message that brings hope to the entire world. Now notice this message, if you will, in verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now notice the message, first of all, is the message of the promised Messiah. And we see here this morning that there is a promised coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son," verse 31, "and shalt call his name Jesus." I heard President Obama give a speech in which he was attempting to encourage the troops and encourage our nation. And within the first three sentences of that speech, he said, and I quote, "Islam is one of the great religions of the world," was what he said. And I suppose if you're talking in the sense of population, or if you're talking in the sense of political workings, perhaps there's some measure of truth to that. But my friend, this morning, Islam denies everything I'm preaching right now today. The fact of the matter is today that we are reading the story of how the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and conceived in Mary the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ. And the false religions of this day deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They say that God had no son, but we're here celebrating all month long the fact that God has a son and his name is Jesus Christ. And we're not here today to preach the alleged virtues of all the religions in the world. We're here to lift up the name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And we do that unashamedly. We believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. Now, Mary knew that the Messiah had been promised. In fact, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." In other words, from the time that Mary was a little girl, she had heard about Messiah. The prophets spoke about it. They wrote about it. I read to you a moment ago Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah prophesied, "A virgin shall conceive." And throughout the scriptures, Micah and Daniel, God, Genesis 3:15, God had been prophesying the coming of his son. And so the angel says to Mary, "Mary, you are going to be a part of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the fathers before you." And so again in verse number 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." And so this was a gift that would be delivered by God to all the world through Mary. How many of you agree with me this morning? Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Amen. And given by God through Mary, how we thank the Lord for it. Now sometimes our gift giving doesn't go according to our plan. I heard about a lady who had bought all of her gifts, but she still needed to get 40 or 50 cards for her friends. She ran to a Hallmark store. She bought 50 cards. She sat down and signed them hurriedly, stuffed them into the envelopes, put the stamp on them, put them in the mailbox. And she was glad to get that done, one of her holiday chores done. She sat down Christmas morning, had a cup of coffee. She had one of those cards left, and she just decided maybe she would read it. It was pretty, but she had not really read it. And the card said on the inside, "This card is just to say a little gift is on the way." And suddenly she realized she had 49 friends waiting for a present to come. Now, I don't know if those 49 friends ever got that present, but I know this, we got ours. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he came because of Mary's surrender and because of the love of God. Now, this promised coming had been made by the prophets of old, and they prophesied a child to be born. And notice that in verse 31, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now notice the prophesied child. His name shall be called Jesus. Let's say that name together, shall we? Jesus. What a lovely name. Jesus. It's an easy name. It's a name that the children in the nursery can say this morning. It comes from the Hebrew Joshua, which means Jehovah will save. And that's why Jesus came, to save us from our sins. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's an easy name. May I say to you, secondly, this morning, it is an exalted name. The name of Jesus Christ is above all names, and politicians, in their attempt to gather influence, will put all religions on the same shelf. But in this house of God this morning, we are here to lift the name of Jesus above every other name. So So, well, why do we do that? Are we just trying to make ourselves look better? No, we do that because we're here this morning to follow the Bible. And the Bible says in verse 32, notice please, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 is in your notes. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Listen, his name is an easy name, but his name is an exalted name. But then I want you to see, thirdly, his name is an eternal name. For the Bible says, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall rule forever and reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, verse 33, there shall be no end. You see, it is an eternal name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 says, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And so Gabriel says, Mary, I have a hopeful message for you. You will be a part in God's messianic plan of redemption for all of the world. And so we see the message of the promised Messiah. But notice, secondly, it was the message of a powerful miracle. The message of a powerful miracle. Now, perhaps at this point, Mary's thinking to herself, all right, this is a real angel. This is a real revelation. It's hard to comprehend it, but he told me not to fear. But now she's going to move to that second part of reasoning where she asks, how does it happen? If it's going to happen, and God says, fear not, then how is it going to happen? How will this powerful miracle take place? And notice Mary's question about that in verse 34 of the Bible this morning, Luke chapter 1. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Once again, the scriptures protect her purity in this question that Mary asked. How can this happen since I do not know a man? And Mary's question was valid. But notice Gabriel's answer, if you would, this morning in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now this is one of the most important theological corner pieces of our faith that you'll ever study in any church, anywhere, or in the Word of God. And so I want you to read it with me again, and I want you to think about verse 35. As Mary has asked the question, listen to the answer as we read together. Ready, begin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called. Now again, many religions in the world deny this verse. But I want you to comprehend with me this morning. Mary had an honest question, and the many religions of the world would say, yeah, it's a bunch of baloney. This can't happen. But God has answered how it would happen. So notice Gabriel's answer. First of all, he tells us the process is a mystery. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. In other words, Mary, this baby will not be born after the normal manner of men. But the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. A divine heavenly procedure is taking place here. And the life that will come within your womb is coming by the power and delivery of the Holy Spirit. This will not be the seed of man. This will be the seed of God coming into you. John 1:14, it is worded this way. And the Word, that is the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. How could the eternal Christ come and dwell among us? Only by a miracle, and that miracle was this virgin birth. The process is a mystery. But notice, secondly, the performance is a miracle. For the Bible tells us in this passage, the angel answered, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And this work that was performed in her was miraculous. It was not done through science or medicine. It was done by the work of God. Notice, the power is in the mighty hand of God. Verse 35 says once again, The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born of a miracle. The power of God was involved in the anesthesia, as we might call it, bringing this to pass in order that Mary would conceive. And the power came from God Almighty. In fact, notice in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Would you say that with me this morning? For with God... If you can follow the logical sequence of this, Mary says, "How can this happen, Gabriel? I don't know a man." And Gabriel says, "Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of Almighty is going to overshadow you. And this that is born will be born as the Son of God." And as if to apprehend, or as if to sense Mary's question and desire to know, Gabriel just simply says to her in verse 37, "Mary, for with God all things are possible." And there might be someone here this morning and you're still at that "how could it be" stage. And I tell you, my friend, there will never be salvation in your life until you come to the "with God all things are possible" stage and believe that God sent His Son through Jesus Christ and recognize that salvation is through His power. And sometimes in our lives, we face circumstances where we're trying to understand, how can it be, and how can it change or be different, or how can I understand my way through? And God gives sometimes a minimal explanation, but then simply says, "Remember that with me all things are possible, and continue your walk by faith." It was that way for Sarah. She never thought she'd have a child, and yet God gave Isaac. And throughout the Scriptures, God shows that all things are possible. And may we remember that this morning. And then I want you to see, as we close, Mary's response in verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.'" Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The word is doulos. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary stopped trying to figure it out. Mary believed that with God all things were possible. And Mary just said, "Here I am, Lord. Use me for your honor and your glory." Perhaps that's where you need to come in your life today in order to be saved. You're trying to study all the different religions, but you need to come to the place where Mary came and say, "Lord, I trust." For we walk by faith, not by sight. Maybe you're already saved, but you've been wondering and questioning about circumstances in life. And you need to come to that place, having heard the promise that with God all things are possible, come to that place of saying, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we ask this morning that we would all in this room learn from the life of Mary how to be more surrendered to you. Help us, Lord, instead of casting in our mind all of the things, help us to fear not. Help us to trust in you. And if there are those here today who are not sure of their relationship with God, not sure of their eternal destiny, I pray that today they would stop casting things in their mind, and today they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the blessings of this Christmas season. And probably the greatest blessing of all would be for you to receive God's gift to you. Lots of gift giving during this time of year, but the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of a Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize what He did for you on the cross, to lay aside everything that you're trusting, and to trust Him alone as your Savior. Friend, we invite you to bow your head and heart and make this simple decision of faith. Invite Jesus Christ into your life right now to be your Savior. It's a decision you will never regret. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chappell and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org, or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. 201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chappell's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chappell, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.